The following program, Normal Show Live, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate for the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate or encourage any illegal activity and advise all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws by visiting normal.org, N-O-R-M-L.org. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers of Normal Show Live are their own and do not necessarily reflect the philosophy and policies of Normal. Listener discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it.
And it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization.
And I think we need to rethink and decriminalize our marijuana laws.
To the agony of prohibition.
Well, on the earth.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws presents.
We love the earth.
Normal Show Live. Marijuana Nation. Now, here's your host. Normal's outreach coordinator, Radical Russ Belleville.
Good afternoon, tokers and tokettes, and welcome. It is Friday, October 7th, 2011, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. We are occupying Portland right here at Rolla J Studios. Glad to have you here with us. Joining us here in studio, the lovely and talented Cannabis Carrie. Hi, Carrie.
I don't have a mic. Oh, here
it's
it
right there, Carrie.
Okay, let me move this mic over a little bit. Clap, 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 clap. She's got a mic.
Yes. We had a good time yesterday, huh?
Oh, man. Occupy Portland was amazing and inspiring, and I'm thrilled that everybody got out there.
All right. Also joining us in the studio today, Wiz Khalico. How you doing, Khalico?
Yo, yo, yo. Glad I could make it here. My voice didn't. It's still down there occupying the streets of Portland.
I believe Khalico's voice is somewhere showing what democracy looks like.
Something like that.
Or telling.
Telling people what it looks
democracy looks like. Yeah, that must be it. Well, thanks for being here. Having both of you here is going to be a lot of fun. On today's show, we got a lot of very important news to get to. So let's start with Cannabis. Carrie, what do we have in our hemp headlines today?
We do have some big news stories. We're going to talk about that letter that was sent out by the feds to dispensaries in California. Also, we're going to talk about some new restrictions in Holland, the Netherlands. They're changing things up there. And a new conspiracy law. We're going to start up with that one.
Oh, my God. More drug war stuff coming at you. It's getting ramped up, and we're going to talk all about that today for sure. Also on today's show, it's Rockin' Friday, and so Herb Thrasher is going to join us with a group called Lacero, so we'll learn more about that. You got to keep those on.
Sorry.
And then also, we've got Steve Bloom from Celeb Stoner on today's show. He'll be talking about the latest celebrity entertainment news, including a story that is meaningful here in Portland about Trailblazers player Marcus Camby. And then Carly Duran from San Antonio Normal is going to join us. We had her on the show earlier, and you know, a few weeks ago, and she was talking about the smart car. Well, the smart car is ready to go. We've got the pictures of the new San Antonio Normal smart marijuana car driving down the streets there, and can't wait to show that to you. Also, we're going to talk a little bit in hour two about our experience at the Occupy Portland protests. If you haven't seen the pictures of this, you should go out there and Google it. We were there among at least 10,000 people that were gathered out there expressing their displeasure with the situation in America today. And it was really interesting getting to talk to lots of different people from lots of different backgrounds about this. So in hour two, we'll take your calls on this, and we'll show you maybe some pictures of some of the funniest signs that we saw there at the Occupy Portland. All that and more is coming up on Normal Show Live. We are the voice of the marijuana nation, and today we're rocking the Hemp Normal shirt and the Hemp USA hat. If you're not buying hemp, you're not supporting hemp. Find your local hemp dealer and support them today. We're right back after this.
This is Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
The law offices of Omar Figueroa would like to remind you to stand up for your rights. Please do not give up your precious liberties. There's nothing wrong with standing up for our constitutional rights, and in fact, it's the only way to honor the Constitution that gives us these precious rights. Treat law enforcement with respect, and respect the Constitution by standing up for your rights. If you are detained or arrested, stand up for your rights by repeating, "I respectfully invoke all of my legal and constitutional rights. I do not consent to any search or seizure. I want to remain silent, and I want to speak with my attorney, Omar Figueroa." Omar Figueroa has more than a decade of experience in federal and California courts and graduated from Yale University, Stanford Law School, and Trial Lawyers College. Please contact the law offices of Omar Figueroa at 415-489-0420 or 707-829-0215 or on the web at www.omarfigueroa.com.
You're listening to Pod Safe Music on Normal's Daily Audio.
Weedmaps.com. I'm Radical Russ from Normal. In my job as outreach coordinator, I travel every month, and when I'm on the road, I need a fast, accurate way to find the medical marijuana dispensaries in the area. So I turn to Weedmaps.com. Weedmaps.com has the best dispensary locator online or on your mobile device. Search by zip code or let Weedmaps find you, and in seconds you'll have the addresses, phone numbers, and customer service reviews for the medical marijuana dispensaries in the local area. Weedmaps.com also has a section devoted to helping you find a doctor who understands and recommends medical marijuana under your state's law. You can even check prices on the Medical Marijuana Stock Exchange. Coming soon, you'll even be able to find the listings of Normal attorneys and chapters, local head shops and grow shops, and the best weed-friendly businesses. Weedmaps.com has the information you need to be an informed cannabis consumer. Visit Weedmaps.com today, a proud sponsor of the Normal Network. Inhaling deeply all the sacred smoke.
Medical marijuana, industrial hemp, consumer cannabis. It's time for this week's Normal News with Cannabis Carry.
It's now a crime to discuss or plan activities on foreign soil that, if carried out in the United States, would violate the Controlled Substances Act. The House Judiciary Committee has passed a bill that makes the simple act of discussing activities that may be legal in the countries that you are discussing them in a crime and subject to prosecution. The new law was sponsored by Judiciary Committee Chairman Representative Lamar Smith from Texas. It allows prosecutors to bring conspiracy charges against anyone who discusses, plans, or advises someone else to engage in an activity violating the Controlled Substances Act. Activists and civil rights advocates are lining up to criticize the latest overreaching step of the federal government. Critics of the law say it could potentially affect academics and medical professionals who work overseas, such as in needle exchange programs that are subject to criminal prosecution here in the U.S. If a U.S. resident advises someone about how to grow medical marijuana, even if the person lives in a country where medical marijuana is legal, that U.S. resident would be in violation of the new law. Now, other more ominous applications of the law could include doctors, academics, and policymakers from contributing their expertise to other countries who are seeking drug law reform in their own countries. Since the Controlled Substances Act also regulates prescription drug distribution, telling a friend who is sick on their Mexican vacation about the little drugstore across from the hotel where they might find an over-the-counter cough medication that might contain codeine would also be in violation. Harvey Silvergate, a civil libertarian lawyer, calls the new law outrageous, saying conspiracy laws in general are problematic in the drug war since they give prosecutors the power to go after families and girlfriends in crimes committed by drug dealers.
Oh, my God. Hey, Calico. Hey, what do you say that we get together and go off to the Cannabis Cup in Amsterdam and be judges?
Okay.
Does it sound like a fun time there?
It sounds like
We have committed a federal conspiracy to violate drug laws outside of the United States. We are in trouble now. Oh, I know this is bad. We're never going to get out of this one. This is terrible. Oh, my God. It's jail time for us, I'm afraid. Yeah, there we go. Oh.
We're gonna go hang out with Pure.
Yeah.
First rule of the Cannabis Cup, Russ. Don't talk about the Cannabis Cup.
I know. Can you believe this kind of stuff? This is they want to make this law here in America that American laws are supreme all around the world. That you got to obey American laws no matter where you go, no more cannabis cups, no more Amsterdams here. Now, again, Carrie, you were saying that it's the act itself is not illegal.
That's right. If you're in Amsterdam, well, I mean, technically, we can talk technicalities, but if you're in a law that recognizes loose drug laws, Portugal, for example, if you're in Portugal and it's totally legal to possess and consume cannabis inside someone's home, you can do that. You just can't discuss it if you're a U.S. resident now.
You say, hey, let's go to Portugal and check out their tomatoes.
I bet
they've got great tomatoes in
ridiculous.
Portugal.
This it kind of reminds me of the Mark Emery law. I mean, how can we prosecute Mark Emery for laws that are okay in his country, but we can extradite him over here and prosecute him here?
It's because we have the money and we have the bombs.
Now, in the move to tighten the so-called soft drug laws in the country of Holland, here we go talking about technicalities, the Dutch government said today that they are moving to classify higher potency marijuana alongside hard drugs like heroin, cocaine, and ecstasy. In the famed coffee shops of Amsterdam and other cities across the Netherlands, cannabis that is sold there will now have to be less than 15% THC. Since the Netherlands coffee shops are famous for their strong varieties of marijuana, under the new laws, most of their current strains on the menus will have to be replaced by lower THC-containing strains. It has long been seen as legal in Holland to buy and consume cannabis, but in fact, possession of marijuana is illegal. Police there have a policy of not arresting people for small amounts, and it is tolerated by allowing cafes to sell it openly. Marijuana growers, however, are routinely prosecuted if caught. The more conservative current government in Holland is behind the push to tighten cannabis rules. Economics Affairs Minister Maxime Verhagen said that any cannabis containing more than 15% of THC is so much stronger than what was common a generation ago that it should be considered a different drug entirely.
It's not your father's Woodstock weed!
He told reporters at a press conference today at The Hague that the high-potency weed has, quote, played a role in increasing public health damage. Now, most smokers of cannabis agree that people will just smoke more of the lower-potency marijuana, which is more harmful to the public health, but, you know, details. The Dutch justice minister said that it was up to the cafes to regulate their own products, but that police will seize random samples for testing. The cabinet has not said when the police will begin to enforce this new rule. A spokesman for the platform of cannabis businesses in the country said the new plan will be difficult, if not impossible, to implement. I mean, how will growers be able to know when a crop of marijuana exceeds 15%? He predicts that a black market for the more potent marijuana will spring up very quickly.
Yeah, that's always what happens whenever you do any sort of prohibition. And here's the interesting thing here is that, on the one hand, people might think of alcohol and go, well, you know, we have different laws for alcohol. We have alcohol when it's, you know, if it's below a certain percentage, it's beer or wine, and we allow that. And we have different regulations as far as how those can be distributed as compared to things like tequila, hard liquors, and so on. There's some states where you can get the Bacardi 151. Some states you can't. Some states you can get Everclear. Some states you can't. But one critical difference is alcohol is toxic and addictive. Okay? So the higher the potency, the greater danger. And unfortunately, these people that keep trying to come up with these laws that equate the potency of marijuana with somehow, you know, if it's a stronger potency, it's somehow more dangerous, is just ridiculous. They're not paying attention to the science of this. When you have really potent marijuana, like if you have 4% LV Musica U.S. government weed, you smoke a joint or two of that, and you get high. If you have cannabis-cured dabs, you have one dab, and you get high, right? The potency doesn't make it more high or stronger high or worse high. You can get that high with low potency. It's just a lot harder to do. But again, it doesn't matter how much potency you've got. Since it's non-toxic, it's not going to kill you. It's not more addicting if it's more potent. It's just a more concentrated form. And besides, I'm not that convinced that the government is so concerned about the potency of marijuana when they make Schedule 3 Marinol 100% synthetic THC available legally.
And And on the heels of that ATF memo from the Justice Department that said medical marijuana patients did not have the right to bear arms, and the IRS cracking down on cannabis-related businesses in the form of excessive tax burdens, federal prosecutors are now pushing for a crackdown on dispensary operations by announcing legal action against several dispensaries in a statewide effort in California to rein in the new medical marijuana businesses. According to the statement, the action was focused in part on an Orange County building that had 8 dispensaries and sold medical marijuana as far away as New York, as reported. 6 people were charged in marijuana trafficking and accused of profits of $15 million garnered in about 8 months. Warning letters were also sent to the operators of 38 additional marijuana dispensaries, asking them to cease operations. U.S. Attorney Andre Barot Jr. said that it is important to note that any for-profit marijuana operations is not just illegal under federal law, but Californian law as well. The LA Times was reporting on Friday that letters were sent from the feds to landlords throughout California that had dispensaries on their properties, warning them to stop the sales of marijuana within 45 days or face the possibility that their property will be seized and they may be charged with a crime. Now, it was back in 2009 that the Obama administration announced that they would not be targeting people using medical marijuana, and that was seen by many in the medical marijuana community as a green light to expand the industry and to open new dispensaries in states like California, Colorado, and Washington. But the new pressure from the Fed seemed focused just on California this time around, but we can expect they've got more arrows in their quiver.
Yeah, when originally asked as a candidate his stand on the issue of medical marijuana, President Obama had pledged not to be, quote, using Justice Department resources to try to circumvent state laws on this issue. Well, today we got 4 U.S. attorneys from the Obama administration's Department of Justice announcing these plans to, quote, outline actions targeting the sale, distribution, and cultivation of marijuana, end quote. We've already talked about the dispensaries getting these letters, these landlords being threatened with shutdowns. But this comes on the heel of the Obama administration's Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms and Explosives openly declaring that the mere act of registering for a medical marijuana card in accordance with state law is reason enough to suspend a citizen's Second Amendment rights. Additionally, President Obama has been using the resources of other federal departments to circumvent state laws on medical marijuana. The Obama administration's Internal Revenue Service has ruled that medical marijuana dispensaries cannot deduct common business expenses, a move that cripples the ability of any business to remain viable. The Obama administration's Department of Treasury has pressured banks to no longer hold accounts for medical marijuana businesses that are heavily regulated, taxed, and surveilled by the state of Colorado. President Obama had pledged that, quote, science and the scientific process must inform and guide decisions of my administration on a wide range of issues, including improvement of public health, end quote. Yet, the Obama administration's Drug Enforcement Administration has blocked legitimate research requests from researchers to study marijuana's medicinal effects. The Obama administration's Department of Health and Human Services just this week rejected an FDA-approved study of medical marijuana for treatment of post-traumatic stress disorder. President Obama has appointed the heads of all of these departments. In fact, he even appointed to the head of the Drug Enforcement Administration, Michelle Leonhardt, the acting administrator who had previously been appointed by President Bush. It is by these measures that President Obama may be judged as more aggressively battling medical marijuana than the previous 2 administrations in the medical marijuana era. However, there is one critical difference between President Obama's war on medical marijuana compared to President Bush. George W. Bush never bothered to ask us what we thought about it. President Obama has asked the American people on 9 separate occasions for suggestions on public policy. In every instance, the subject of marijuana legalization and medical marijuana support have been the top concerns cited by Americans. President Bush never openly mocked us on the issue as Obama did when he laughed about what this says about the online community. Of course, if President Bush had bothered to address our medical marijuana questions, it couldn't have been any more incoherent than President Obama's recent response when he said, I'll leave it at that. Now, full disclosure, I voted for, campaigned for, fundraised for, phone banked for, and publicly spoke on one occasion on behalf of the Obama campaign in 2008 when I was still a progressive talk radio host on satellite radio. It won't happen again. Now, some people tell me that we're more likely to see legalization under a Democratic administration. I look out and see 2 Republicans running for president espousing marijuana regulation. I see arrest graphs showing a greater rise in marijuana arrests under Clinton, than under any other president but Nixon. At this point in my childless life, I must take Keith Strop's word to heart and, quote, never again vote for any politician who would treat you like a criminal. All right, we've got more on that news coming up in our hour two, including a look at California Normal. They are calling for a protest of this action by the Obama administration, and we're hoping everybody can go and visit canormal.org. They were out there today in force, I understand, and we're trying to get Dale Gehringer on the line to talk to him about that and get a little bit this. Rally against DOJ crackdown on medical marijuana is still going on today at the Sacramento Federal Courthouse. It's going to go till 3 p.m. It's at 501 I Street. And if you want more information on this, just go visit canormal.org to get the information on this. This protest is taking place now at the Sacramento Federal Courthouse. And if one thing I learned from yesterday's demonstrations in Occupy Portland, it's that having feet in the street is what's going to get media attention on this issue. It's time to call President Obama's bluff and show him that the people really do support medical marijuana and that the states are not going to sit by idly while they run roughshod over our 10th Amendment rights. Hey guys, it's time to take a break.
Thank goodness.
I know, a little bit.
We need one.
Got a little talkie there. Be right back after this. We'll see ya.
It's 20 after the hour, and we have to take a short break, if you know what I mean. Please support these sponsors who support Normal Show Live.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man? Reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? Reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would sell you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
High Times Medical Cannabis Cup is coming to Detroit on October 15th and 16th. That's right. The world's premier medical marijuana competition will be in Motown to celebrate the cannabis economy of the Great Lakes State. It's a two-day expo at Birch Warehouse Theater, showcasing the movers and shakers of the Michigan medical marijuana industry and the merchandise that makes the machine go. There'll be seminars with leaders of the medical marijuana movement, doctors, patients, researchers, growers, dispensary owners, and activists. Plus, High Times' own cultivation editors Danny Danko and Nico Escondido will roll into town with the goods on growing great ganja. Be there for an amazing Saturday night VIP party featuring top musical performances and special guests. High Times will award the Medical Cannabis Cup for top indicas, sativas, hybrids, concentrates, and edibles. Entered by Michigan's dispensaries and collectives. Come to Birch Warehouse Theater on October 15th and 16th. Visit MedCanCup.com for all the details. Celebrate cannabis in Michigan. Celebrate the resurgence of Detroit. Be part of the growing cannabis community.
Are you or is someone you know a marijuana smoker? Have you or is someone in your family been arrested for a marijuana violation? You need to know the truth about pot. Normal, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws, is the most comprehensive source of information regarding marijuana and its effects on health, as well as legal issues. Normal even offers a database of lawyers specializing in cannabis in your area. Normal, the nation's largest and most successful marijuana law reform organization, has spent decades gathering the knowledge and science on everything related to cannabis. Normal is the best resource to find out the truth about marijuana, connect with a lawyer in your area, or help find an end to prohibition. Information is available at normal.org. That's N-O-R-M-L.org. Or toll free at 888-67-NORMAL.
In today's busy world, we're inundated by advertising for all types of pharmaceuticals that come with a laundry list of potential side effects. Shouldn't you have better medical choices? Natural alternatives to pills pushed by Big Pharma? At Alternative Medical Choices, you could choose natural, safe, and effective alternative therapies that are right for your budget without nasty side effects. Cannabis, or marijuana, has been a legal medicine in the Pacific Northwest since 1998. Our doctors will help determine your qualifications for a medical marijuana recommendation in Oregon, no matter where you live. Our massage therapists will ease your aches and stress with soothing hemp seed oil or cannabis-infused massage salves. We also offer acupuncture, Reiki, and other alternative health therapies. Call Alternative Medical Choices in Portland, Oregon at 503-288-5579 or visit our website at www.altmedchoices.com. We specialize in out-of-state recommendations. That's www.altmedchoices.com or call 503-288-5579.
It's time for your daily Toker Tunes, the best in 420-friendly music from all genres that uplifts, entertains, and informs the public. Today, we take you into the weekend with Rockin' Friday. Our segment features the best of rock, metal, punk, and jam band music. If you'd like to submit your song to be played on Normal Show Live, send it to us at stash@normal.org. Now here's some more great independent marijuana music for today's Daily Toker Tune.
All right, once again, we've made it to the weekend, and that means it's time for Herb Thrasher. 1 week till launch of the show, right, my man?
Herb Thrasher. 1 week, man. Next Friday night at 8 o'clock West time, 11 o'clock Eastern. So, yeah, we're fired up, man. It's going to be great.
Oh, we're getting some kind of loop as we're talking to you here. I don't know where that's coming from. Oh, we're getting some kind of loop as we're talking
to you
here.
Now you are, Gil?
Yeah, afraid so.
Now you are, Gil? Well. I don't know, dude. Should I call back?
Oh, no. We're good. We got that muted on the... okay, sorry. We just had it on the Skype machine, had the show on as well. So we're good now. So what do we got for today's Rockin' Friday?
So we got a great band. Actually, we kind of got in touch with these guys. We found out about them at Seattle Hemp Fest when we were up there in August for that great event. And I was kind of hanging out backstage, and there was a cool guy there, and ended up talking with him, and ended up being a manager of this band, and he was a smart manager because he had their CD with him, and he just he gave me their CD, and ended up that way. I was able to leave with music and took it home, and upon listening to it, I was able to find out that Lucero, a four-piece, high-energy and graceful band from Everett, Washington, one of those bands that when you hear them, you know you're going to hear them again on a bigger stage. Light metal and hard rock are best used to describe them in their music. They infuse melodic and emotional vocals with hefty portions of rock and metal, with influences such as Zeppelin and Pink Floyd, Mudvayne, Metallica, that carefully blend the layers of grooves that create their brand of light metal. The song Justless is a great example of the high-octane layers of energy that inject each song. Playing shows in the Northwest area so far, Lucero continues to change the mood and atmosphere of each venue, bringing tons of energy and passion and ambience. You can catch Lucero's video debut on Normal Rocks next week, October 21st, and then come join us. Me, you'll be there, and we'll be at the Red Room on October 22nd, and that's in Portland. And we're going to hang out with those guys. We're going to interview them. We're going to film a couple of their songs, and it's just going to be a really good time. So are you guys in Portland or even in Washington, you guys have heard of these guys or what? Come on down, man. It's going to be a great time.
Absolutely. You know, so, we're looking forward to getting Normal Rocks with Herb Thrasher starting next week on the 14th, live here from Rolla J Studios. What are some of the other plans you've got for the show?
Well, we're going to be definitely trying to get in touch with all kinds of bands. We're going to be playing new music and unsigned band music. It's not just going to be a stoner type song, man. We're just going to play all kinds of bands and people that are in our community and who support the community. That's who we're going to support. We're going to have interviews. We'll have we're going to have some sports talk. During football season, we might talk about that. During the winter, we'll have some X Games and try to get some of those ex-gamers on the show, and it's just going to be kind of a growing situation, and it's just going to be a lot of fun, and we're just going to bring the rock to people, man, and get these guys on. The bands out there, they really have a lot to say, and they believe in our support, too, and they want to support us, and this is going to give them an avenue to really help and make them feel like they're doing something for our cause, too.
That is so cool, man. We're glad to hear it. So let's get it on. This is Lucero with Justless. Thanks a lot, Herb Thrasher. We'll see you next week.
Later. Turn it up.
You want a copy of that song for your iPod? Check out the Daily Toker Tunes at the Stash blog by surfing to stash.normal.org and choosing Media and then Toker Tunes from the main menu.
Marijuana and alcohol are the two most popular recreational drugs in America. Marijuana smoking is non-toxic, relatively safe, and has a low risk of dependence. Alcohol drinking is potentially fatal, dangerous to society, and is quite addictive. Marijuana is safer, so why are we driving people to drink? That's the question of the new book, Marijuana is Safer, So Why Are We Driving People to Drink? By Paul Armentano, Mason Tvert, and Steve Fox. Visit Amazon.com or ChelseaGreen.com today to order your copy of Marijuana is Safer, or visit MarijuanaIsSafer.com. Marijuana culture is infused throughout America and the world. As we round out the week, we take a look at the 420 phenomenon in movies, TV, music, and sports with former High Times editor and author of Pot Culture, Steve Bloom, in our CelebStoner.com entertainment news.
All right, everybody, welcome back, and we are pleased to have Steve Bloom on the phone with us in yet another strange circumstance. We get you in the strangest places, Steve.
Yeah, on my bike riding through Brooklyn.
Oh my goodness! I'm so sorry about that, man. We'll work
this
out.
That's okay. I just pulled up at a stoop, and we'll do the interview from like the stoop of somebody's house.
This is so authentically New York. I love it.
Right.
Hey, I wanted to get to you on some of the stories that we had here on the Celeb Stoner website. And, of course, we'll start off with sports here because we're winding up the baseball season. And I see that we've got a new baseball player to add to the all-drug list.
Yeah, Jordan Schaefer. He's an Astro, sort of turning to a journeyman player, got traded by the Braves during the season. And he actually one time before had a 50-game suspension for using HGH. So a little bit of a checkered career, and now he got arrested in Tampa. He apparently was driving at 12:30 at night, window open, smoking a blunt, and an unmarked car was right next to him, and they had smelled it, and they pulled him over.
Oops.
You know, duh. So that's – but he had, in addition, about more than 20 grams in the glove compartment or wherever in the car when they searched it, and that's a felony in Florida. Yeah. So it's not so funny.
Yeah, yeah. So any news on what's going to happen with this felony? Is it going to, get reduced?
I don't know.
Somehow?
Well, we'll see how it goes. I've been noticing a lot of cases being dropped lately.
Yeah.
Say Wiz Khalifa, case dropped. Now the Marcus Camby case dropped.
Yeah.
So you fight it with a good lawyer, case dropped.
Yeah, and that, Marcus Camby's one of the trailblazers up here. That's getting a lot of ink up here in Portland.
Yeah, Blazers.
That's right. It seems like
He's a Blazer and a Nugget. and a former Knick, by the way. So we know him well in New York. We kind of, rude the day the Knicks traded him. He was always so good. He went on to be a defensive player of the year. He's always been a really great defensive player. Now, maybe a 10-point-a-game guy.
Yeah.
But, 10 rebounds, lots of block shots. He's really tough in the middle. He's getting old. He's 16 years in the league already.
Mm-hmm.
He's a number 2 draft pick out of UMass years ago. So here's a guy, another one of those really good players who smokes weed, and tries not to get caught and ran into, driving while black in Houston.
Yeah, it sounds as if he got busted in Texas with that same kind of weed that Willie Nelson got busted with, where it just slowly disappears.
Well, no, it didn't happen like that. What happened was he was with his cousin, and his cousin took the rap.
Ah, is that it?
That's what happened. Now, only yesterday, or on Wednesday, they reported that that they had, it was his weed, so I'm in the car. So he's never saying he's not in the car. He's not saying he didn't smoke it, but he didn't get charged with that. He just got charged with possessing it.
Right.
So they just shifted the blame over to the cuz. The cuz said, okay, I did it.
Now, is this
right or wrong, I don't know what the truth would be there if the cuz is really the cuz's weed and, hey, bro, come on, we'll go for a ride and, got some good bomb shit and there you go. Or, whatever. You know how it can be.
Sure.
So, you know, I mean, I think the perception is that, you know, celebrities kind of can get off that way because they'll take, have somebody that'll take the rap for them, and whereas the average person, you know, wouldn't be able to get off so easy.
Yeah.
I see people complaining a lot about celebs getting off easy. You know, it's like, hey, you know, I think they're jealous. You know, they think, oh, well, I see all these comments up there on different pages saying, you know, they even got mad at Willie Nelson for perhaps getting off easy. You
yeah.
know, it's like,
I
wouldn't get off that easy.
Right. I'm never mad that they get off easy. I'm mad that we don't. That's all.
Exactly.
I don't want Willie Nelson to go to jail.
Well, they're getting off partially because they have lawyers, and lawyers, you know, will do their due diligence. Most people don't have a lawyer, and they say, I did it, and that's it, you know?
Yeah, you're right. There's something
about... They can't afford it, by the way. Yeah, but they can't afford to have a lawyer, and they do the cheap thing. They take the fine and, you know, that kind of stuff, and they don't fight it.
Or the public pretender, you know, one or the other.
Right, right.
There's something on your site that I thought was pretty, you know, not necessarily controversial, but definitely something that would be shocking to some people when they see it here. It's a piece by Steve Cubby. Did cannabis prohibition kill Steve Jobs? And of course, we know that Steve Jobs died yesterday after a 7-year battle with pancreatic cancer. Tell the story here that Steve is putting out and making that, you know, that claim.
Well, Steve Cubby is a longtime marijuana activist, also a cancer survivor, and he's the man behind the Regulate Marijuana Like Wine movement in California. And so he sent it to me, and I also posted it up on the campaign site. This idea that that Steve Jobs was offered marijuana lozenges and maybe some other, you know, marijuana medications, and never accepted it because he was in line for a liver transplant. You know the whole thing about liver transplants, where if you're, you know, if you're not clean, you can't get it. And so, you know, his point is really that because of the liver situation, Jobs, you know, shied away from medical marijuana. And with what we're learning more and more about marijuana, you know, use, you know, medical cannabis might, you know, deter, prevent, stop tumor growth. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe it could have helped the growth of his tumor that was in his pancreas. You know, that was his problem for the last 7 years. So he, you know, who knows if Steve Jobs ever used any kind of marijuana over those years. But he's putting it out there, you know, in a controversial way. You know, did marijuana prohibition kill Steve Jobs? Obviously, yeah. That's a controversial thing to say.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, I think he's trying to just make a point, and I thought it was a good one, so I went with it.
Yeah, you know, I've read reports that Steve Jobs had credited taking acid as one of the best days he'd ever had in his life, so I wouldn't doubt it.
Yeah, well, not one time, multiple times. Mm-hmm. You know, here's like a guy who went to India, ashrams, was the hippie of that era, of the team of him and Steve Wozniak that created Apple and started Atari. They, you know, he was the hippie guy, you know. I mean, Wozniak was pretty cool too, you know,
yeah.
And still remains. But you know, Jobs was the guy who walked barefoot, the ponytail, the pot smoking, the acid. You know, he just kind of left it behind. You know, his public persona, as time went on, when he was, you know, Steve Jobs, the Apple guru, you know, he kind of didn't talk about that much. But when you read the quotes, there's a few quotes now that where people are digging up about his acid use, that it really informed his life in a way that he almost couldn't relate to people who didn't do that. It was such, you know, like, yeah, like, you know, it's almost like a test. Have you done acid? Oh, yeah, okay, then we can talk.
Yeah.
You know,
you'll
like,
understand.
We're on a different plane. We're on a different plane where we have an understanding of we both went there, you
yeah.
know. And at least that's the way I'm reading it. But there's a couple of quotes out there. I haven't had the time to really put that out. But you know, what I want to put out there, and I have this thing I feel like writing, because I wrote the book Video Game, a book about video games when I kind of earlier in my career, and really fascinated with Jobs and the whole Atari story where Jobs started. So I said, when I think of Steve Jobs, I think of Breakout.
Yeah.
And, you know,
the old
Breakout,
game.
Him and Wozniak created Breakout as like the, you know, the super deluxe version of Pong, you know, the colorful, trippy, you know, walls moving in on you, you know, got to get out of there, you know, and I loved that game.
Yeah.
And, you know, from Breakout, you know, it was sort of like there was a big sort of quick jump to, like, say, Space Invaders, and then the whole video game thing, you know, took off, you know, it became like a huge phenomenon. And so, you know, those guys were there doing it then. You know, also, Steve Jobs and Wozniak were famous for the black box ripoff of, like, phone ripoff stuff. So he was very kind of outlaw when he was younger. You know, the whole, you know, hacker community and programming community back then was very countercultural and was very informed by marijuana use and drug use. It's been documented in books and documentaries, you know, and Jobs is all part of it, you know. And even, you know, I think there's a point that he makes about Gates, saying, like, you know, that the difference with him and Gates is that Gates never tripped.
Well, that's, you know what I mean? That seems obvious.
Gates was cool. Gates was sort of cool, but he wasn't a kind of, he was a guy, the story in Gates is more like coffee and whatever, you know, and Coca-Cola, you know, a lot of caffeine. that's what he'll cop to, you know, that's what all hackers do. They stay up all night on, you know, on their caffeine. But not Jobs, not back in the day anyway.
Yeah.
You know, that whole culture back then, the Atari to Apple culture was fascinating. It was really countercultural. It was very think tanks and new age kind of like stuff, you know, in the office, you know, exercise stuff and all kinds of like things that nobody did back then. It was all like Silicon Valley, you know, era stuff that he was all in the middle of. So I really look up to the guy, same age as me. I feel so sad for him that, you know, he couldn't live his life another 20, 25 years. And it's a great loss that we're not going to have his amazing ideas to keep guiding us, you know, in new, you know, directions. So.
Yeah. Yeah,
there we go.
It is a shame and a provocative way of looking at it, but I think Mr. Cubby makes a very good point here. You know, our own Ganja John had to face the gauntlet of trying to get his kidney transplant. He's had it for a year now, but same situation where you have to worry about, you know, how much do they know about your marijuana use. Steve,
right.
Before I let you go, one last thing here, and of course, you know, any of the events that you're going to and such, we'd like to know about that as well. But we just came back from Occupy Portland yesterday, which of course is the takeoff on the 22-day old Occupy Wall Street that's going on right there in New York. Have you had any experience with this or heard from anyone who's been involved?
Oh, yeah. Well, I went down there, so to speak, on Tuesday. I posted about it. It was Michael Franti occupies Wall Street, mm-hmm. and it was just amazing. I show up, and 15 minutes in, while I'm just walking around, just checking all the signs, all the little things going on in the kitchen and in the living area, and just kind of, you know, drums, and, you know, it's like a little mini rainbow gathering in the city, you know, with a political purpose. And so I kind of immediately enjoyed all that. And then Michael Franti is kind of like comes by, and he's so tall, you can't miss him, but the white hat makes him even taller, this hat that he was wearing, hi hat, and he had his guitar and he's strumming along with some drummers, and I went right over and started singing along and got a nice hug from him because I've known him for years. He was barefoot, which he's famous for. And then what was cool was they kind of ushered him over to a kind of a platform area, and they were having what they call the General Assembly. And so he sort of started the General Assembly with some songs and kind of got people going and made a little speech. And then I stayed. You know, the funny thing was I stayed for like 8 hours. I kept running to people I knew, and I was so fascinated what was going on. You know, nobody, you know, you just come and go and do whatever you want, more or less. And so, you know, it's a scene. You know, and it's amazing. And yesterday, of course, they had the big march around town. Well, what's really fascinating was going on in New York, and I'm sure it's happening somewhat around the country, is the mix of like labor support and union support for the Occupy Wall Street movement. And it's like so this big rally they had yesterday was, you know, populated, you know, in a large part by labor unions in New York supporting, you know, what's going on down on Wall Street. And it kind of turned into a little bit of like some confrontation at the very end, more of the sort of anarchist sort of the part of the crowd just wanted to kind of rush a couple of gates and got into problems and got sprayed. And there's another video around with a cop, you know, wielding a baton and hitting a kid or hitting mm-hmm. a couple of people. And so, you know, that's going to happen, but it was really subdued compared to what happened on the Brooklyn Bridge, where there were 700 arrests and they got kind of penned in. The cops are playing a kind of a cat and mouse game with the protesters, but it's fascinating. It's just a fascinating situation. Sure, people living in the city, we'll see how long it can last. You know, there's no tents, there's you know, there's no amplification, so they have to, you know, announce things, you know, by repeating, and it's kind of a unique way of communicating in their group, and they use hand signals and all kinds of stuff that's just fascinating. I've never seen it before in my life, and I'm sort of a veteran of the old days of the anti-war movement, you know, when I was younger, and maybe this is some WTO stuff that I've missed over the years, and that's how they've learned how to communicate in large crowds, the way they're doing it. And there's a great kitchens, donations, like crazy, tons of food, you know, for people, you know, no shortage of that. Sanitation, John Stewart, I saw last night, Samantha B. did it, kind of went down there and kind of made a big think about sanitation problems down there, because everybody's using one McDonald's. And, you know, there's no porta-sans. I mean, I don't know why they need portos down there. I don't know why they can't have it, or I think they can afford it. You know, I don't know if they're allowed to have it. You know, it's like all these weird archaic rules that they're, you know, that they have to follow there. But the weird thing is that it's a private park, and they're allowed to stay there. You know, they can't roust them. I think the city wants to basically outlast them and just wait for the cold weather to come in and people will go away. We'll see what happens.
We'll see what happens. All right. Well, Steve Blum, I know you've got to go. Do we have any events? Are you headed out to the Medical Cannabis Cup or anything like that soon?
No, I'm staying home. I might head down to Atlantic City next weekend for there's an event down there, and it's a little quiet here on the East Coast, but I'll keep you posted on next things. And you know, as always, promoting my book, Reefer Movie Madness, the Ultimate Stoner Film Guide.
All right, thanks so much, Steve Blum, and everybody, check out celebstoner.com for the latest celebrity entertainment stoner news. Thanks so much, Steve, for taking some time for us.
Thanks for finding me, Russ.
All right, bye bye.
Ever wonder how often to change your bong water? The most effective method for baking pot brownies? The best destinations for a ganja getaway? How to hide herb in your car? Whether to grow your own? How precisely to legalize it? Or how something as wonderful as marijuana ever got to be illegal in the first place? Finally, you can find all these answers and much more in the official High Times Pot Smoker's Handbook, featuring 420 things to do when you're stoned. Since 1974, High Times Magazine has covered marijuana in all its aspects and wonders, from cultivation to legalization to the herb's enduring and exalted place in popular culture. Packed with inside information, the official High Times Pot Smoker's Handbook wove all of this collected wisdom together into a single indispensable ganja guide, including an entertaining look at marijuana's history, profiles of herb-friendly travel destinations and festivals, favorite potluck recipes from the High Times staff, smoking skills, advocacy and activism, essential marijuana movies and songs, profiles of famous cannabis strains, comprehensive growing information, celebrity endorsements, and much more. This is truly, finally, the ultimate guide to green living.
Hello, this is Webb Hubble. Life insurance is now available for responsible marijuana smokers. For years, responsible marijuana smokers have not been able to access affordable life insurance products. Normal uniquely supports cannabis consumers. Two carriers have already agreed to offer all of their traditional life insurance products at all levels without excluding individuals who smoke marijuana responsibly. Help Normal and help yourself. If you've been declined for life insurance, are paying above market premiums, or simply want to know what now may be available in the way of insurance for marijuana smokers, contact me at info@mclaughlinonline.com or simply call me at 202-293-5566.
I think it's time for a debate.
Normal Show Live.
And I think that we ought to study very carefully on what other countries are doing that have legalized marijuana and other drugs.
Marijuana Nation.
I saw him hanging there afterwards, a celebration party after the Mr. Olympia smoking a joint. Did he really smoke a joint? And did he in fact inhale?
Saying I'm in need of change. I'm in need of change. See, I used to get high.
John said that you and him used to smoke weed together.
He was right.
He was right?
We always had a good time. We know how to enjoy ourselves.
Nothing to lose. Now I can't get high. Can't get high.
Come on, Cohagan. You got what you want. Give these people air.
Days come to pass and the nights tend to last much longer than they should.
I'll be back.
See, I used to get high. The end of the day, and I used to get high. That time ticking away, and I used to get high. Nothing to lose, now I can't get high. Can't get high. And you see, I wrote a thousand words today.
Hey, what up? The Zerf Ball from the Cottonmouth Kings. You are now listening to the Normal Show Live.
Cannabis. Pop.
Just say no.
No matter what you call it, it's a huge part of popular culture.
Where'd you learn that, Cheech? Drug school.
You don't need weed school. You just need a copy of the new book, Pot Culture, the A to Z Guide to Stoner Language and Life.
Hey, this is great, man.
Even if you never smoked marijuana.
I never used marijuana. Sorry.
Don't think you smoked marijuana.
I experimented with marijuana a time or two and didn't inhale.
Or you used to smoke marijuana.
I inhaled frequently. That was the point.
Pot Culture by former High Times editor Steve Bloom and Shirley Halperin will answer every question you ever had about marijuana culture.
Has that marijuana made it back up here yet?
Check out Pot Culture, the A to Z guide to stoner language and life at Amazon.com or visit potculturebook.com today.
Too bad, man. I just stopped smoking yesterday.
Normal, unlike any other marijuana or drug reform organization, is built from the ground up by grassroots activists. We are the Marijuana Smokers Lobby, and we aren't just anti-prohibition, we're pro-marijuana. Every week, we take some time to talk to the citizens of local Normal chapters across the country and around the world, as well as others who are working to make a difference in the fight to end adult marijuana prohibition. In this segment, we call Grassroots Activism.
All right, welcome back, everybody. We are glad to have back on our show, joining us again from San Antonio, Texas, Carly Duran, the Executive Director of San Antonio Normal. How you doing, Carly?
Hey, Russ. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. You know, we talked to you just a little while ago, and you were telling us all about the smart car that you guys are putting together. And we've got you back today because it's here. The smart car is here. Tell folks about it.
Well, it's sponsored by Jamie Belasia, who's our attorney on our board, and he purchased the car, and it is basically covered in marijuana leaves. It's not in a tactful way. We have on the back, get motivated and vote to re-legalize marijuana. We have on the side, the driver's side, the drug statistics, death statistics for drugs, with tobacco and legal drugs, illegal drugs, aspirin, caffeine, and then marijuana, of course, is big zero. And, we have a little marijuana leaf that has different sources that hemp creates, and then it has SanAntonioNormal.org on it, our logo on the back. It has a national organization for the reform of marijuana laws, and it's been quite an attention grabber here in San Antonio.
I bet. Have you had a chance to drive it yet?
Yes, I've been driving it now for about 2 weeks.
Do you get unwarranted attention from law enforcement?
Nope, I have not yet got any. I have not been pulled over. I have not had any situation with law enforcement yet. But I'm kind of anxious to get pulled over because I want to get the word out to police officers too, because the car is projecting some positive things about marijuana. It's not just, doesn't look like it's just saying go smoke. You know, it has Jamie's advertisement on the passenger side, which says know your rights and call him if you get in trouble, basically. And so so far the police have not, they have not had any kind of reasonable reason to pull me over. And
I bet you keep the interior of this car spotless.
Very, very clean. Yes.
I'll bet.
Very. It's the cleanest car in town for sure. And I actually also have a Barry Cam. You know, Barry Cooper makes the Barry Cam.
Right, right.
And it says on the back of the car under 24-hour surveillance with the Barry Cam logo. And
I can see that there, right? Next
so
to
I have
the
a Barry
San
Cam
Antonio
of-
Normal logo on the back of the hatch there below the Caduceus there. Barry Cam kind of looks like a Blues Brother almost in there.
Yeah.
Now, how has the reaction been from the general public as you drive this around? Do you get honks and waves and stuff?
Honks, yes. Honks, waves. I've been waiting to, see if I'm going to get flipped off, you know, and I figure I'd just blow those people kisses if I do. But, so far, it's, I've got, you know, people, like you said, they're honking, they're thumbs up, they're at my apartment, even my apartment complex that I live at, the manager of the apartment complex was like, "Is that your green little smart car with all the weed logos all over it?" And I was like, "Yeah," and I was kind of worried they were going to say something in a negative, aspect. And they were like, "Well, I think, you know, it should be re-legalized, and I think that's awesome you drive it." And I'm like, "That's great." So, and then this old woman, I mean, I'm talking probably in her 90s, came up to me. I was just sitting beside my car, and she was like, "I love this car, you know," and she started talking about how she supported Normal, and I gave her a card, and so just people from, you know, it's really fun. It's really fun driving it around.
Well, this seems to be the thing in Texas. You know, we've got you there in San Antonio with a smart car. We've done the show where we talked about the 420 Truth car in Dallas-Fort Worth. Why is this such a Texas thing, painting up the cars?
I don't know. I think, Dallas started it, and then now Austin has a 420 Truth car, which resembles almost to the T the Dallas-Fort Worth Truth car. And instead of, Jamie wanted a smart car instead of the standard Truth car, police cruiser looking car, and he figured the smart car, it being a smart car, would draw attention to it to begin with, and then throwing all these logos on there really grabbed people's attention.
Absolutely.
And the fact that it also has it also has Go Green on the dashboard at the top of the car, and so it's kind of just sending a message, you know, to think about our environments, and part of that is hemp. You know, hemp could definitely, our economy and our environment would definitely benefit from hemp and the legalization of marijuana and cannabis. And it's a great eye catcher. I think Texas, just because the lawyers are the ones sponsoring the cars, and I think they're working together.
And it's a great conversation starter. We're glad you got those put together, and send more pictures. We love it. Thank you, Carly, down there in San Antonio. Check out sanormal.org for more information.
This is Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
All right, for Cannabis Carrie and Wiz Khalifa, I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for joining us on the podcast. We'll talk to you next week. And for those of you listening live, stay tuned for Toker Talk Radio. And until next time, take care of each other, Tokers. Go Broncos. Go Pack.